Welcome back to the mix, everyone. I'm Warren. That's Alardo.
Hello.
And today we have another action-packed episode. Woo. With
We have a soundboard.
Yeah.
Let's do that one more time.
Oh, we have another action-packed episode with.
That was the wrong one. That's okay.
With the banger. Or I don't know how the blockbuster
hit.
Dune 2
yeah.
hit movie Dune 2, the second Dune, and then so we have that. We have the Avatar live action show. Actually, there's like some bangers in this episode. Avatar live action show on Netflix, the Vince Staples show, and Madame Web. Madame Web.
Another you might banger.
Think. Yeah, you might think. Madame Web, why are they even reviewing that? But we have opinions that we want to share, so we're going to talk about it. So yeah, let's get started here with Dune 2.
What a film.
What a movie.
All right, moving on. I'm just
But okay, so this just came out. Timothée Chalamet, lots of dunes, Zendaya.
Oh my god, the dunes.
Budget. What was their budget? Do you know?
I think it was like, I wouldn't be surprised if, no, actually I think it isn't that big, and people, well, it's still pretty big, but it wasn't as big as people think, and then, yeah, people are like, how is Dune made for this much when Marvel movies are like, I think it was like 150 or something like that, and Marvel movies are usually like a lot.
Because the cast alone is like pretty loaded, so I was like, damn, they must be paying, like they must have a huge budget, but yeah, what were your thoughts on Dune 2?
Holy crap. Okay, I'm just going to go with my negatives first because everybody's, you know, praising it. So I just might as well do negatives first.
Okay.
My negatives were, so I loved the first one. Yeah, even I think when we did the episode for the first one, I was like, it's a 4. If I did halves, I'd give it a 4.5. I always say that, yeah. But then, but as I thought about it, and I was like, I thought it was recency bias, but like as months went by and like a year passed, I was like, no, that's a 5. I love that movie. I thought it was really good. Like, I think I even said at the time, like, this is probably what people like thought Star Wars felt like when Star Wars came out. And I love that first one. So this one going in, I actually had really high expectations. Like, there's no way they can mess it up because everybody's saying it's better than the first. And I love the first one. But actually, there are some parts that are dipping for me. It was when they introduced the villain, Austin Butler. And I was like, I don't know, it felt weird introducing a villain halfway through the movie. I feel like they should have just done that at the start, and then we could get right into the good stuff with Timothée Chalamet and just the rest of the movies, all that. But I think it still worked. It's fine. It's not like made it a worse movie, you know? It's just like, just for me, it just felt in an odd place, but it's not like it was bad. Because it was still really good scenes, too, though. But, so that it dipped for me there. It dipped again when it was right after, actually, when we see Josh Brolin again, his, like, commander guy.
Yeah, low-key, I forgot. I was like, who is he again?
Because then when he showed up, I just knew, I was like, okay, you know, we might as well just, hurry this along, you know? We know he's not going to die, they're just going to meet again. And that scene felt a little bit long to me. But again, that's just, it's not anything that crazy, because he's going to complain about, like, more movie. When, like, it was good, it's still good stuff, it was a good scene. Because that was the part with, like, the mine, and the mine, like, flew to the thing, and it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I think those were my only two negatives. I think the ending was supposed to feel abrupt, like kind of like, it just ends. It felt weird a little bit, but it still works. And it's also because I feel like they're trying to do a Godfather thing. It felt a lot like the first Godfather, in my opinion, where like Timothée Chalamet is like rising the ranks. He doesn't really want to, but and then Don Corleone, and then that's pretty much what the
I feel like that's a good comparison, actually. Wow.
Because, people make Godfather comparisons all the time, so it's kind of like Iroh, you know. But this one, actually, I see it, you know.
Yeah. So, I was, like, the opposite of you, kind of, because, like, I did not like the first one as much as you did. I don't remember what I gave it. I think probably, like, a 3 or 3.5. Something like that. So, I did not have super high expectations going into it. I was like, oh, cool, more dunes, whatever. But it actually blew me away. I think the biggest difference was like there's a lot of like setup in the first one and like world building, which you gotta do it.
It was legit more story this time, because the first one it was slower, much slower, because it was legit just world building, and I think that's why I liked it a lot, because
I didn't like it
because just like the detail and like how specific everything is, it feels real.
Yeah,
I like that. And this one is just straight up more story. Like,
straight
legit.
Story. Yeah. And it's great. Because they had to do that type of build-up for to have second one be, like, this strong. So I get it. Like, it's really good, though. Way better than I was expecting, man. The dunes look great. There's one scene that's...
I like how we're sprinkling these dune comics.
It's just, it has to be said. You know, the dunes look great. Yeah. They look duney. anyway, speaking of the dunes, there's that one shot of, like, I'm not gonna explain the context of it, but like, it's half dune, half ocean.
Do you know what I'm talking about? I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
that it looked really sick on screen, and I was like, wow, like, this is sick. Usually, I don't really get carried away with the visuals too much, but it was sick to me. Mm-hmm.
With that said, there was one part that I was like, that stuck out to me too. It looks so good. The part where he was like walking and he's like, Lisa Al Gaib, and he's in the southern part. Yeah. And then like it's a super wide overhead shot, and they all look like sand. And then you just see Paul walking, and then he's like breaking apart.
Mm.
It's like,
that shot was really awesome. That was a sick shot. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. And what did you think of his like performance overall? Because like, dude, I think I heard some people like, or maybe it was you saying like, or not you, but like you heard from somebody that he was like kind of too, or like he's small, or I can't remember.
Oh, feminine. Yeah.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, that was like James Cameron and the director of this movie, Denis Villeneuve talking. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but yeah, it works for the movie though. Like that's what they're saying. It's good that he's a little bit feminine, because there's that whole the Bene Gesserit. And, like, yeah, their whole thing.
Yeah, and
But with that said, his performance, though, overall is crazy.
Really good.
I don't think people understand, like, he has to be this, like, you know, he has to seem like this powerful, like, really strong person. And he does. By the end of the movie, he is kind of, like, a scary guy. And it's awesome.
Yeah.
And
There's a couple other things. Like, what did you think of the way that they handled fight scenes in general in this movie? Because like I felt like they were like summary fight scenes. They didn't really dig in the way like say a Marvel fight scene does, of like we're gonna punch each other for like 30 seconds. It was kind of like it got to the point, I feel like.
Yeah, exactly,
which
yeah.
I liked for the story. Yep. But what did you think?
No, yeah, I liked it a lot. That this movie does that a lot, where it just has in general really good scenes alone. Like I think that's why it's so good, because the scenes themselves, there's so many good moments in this movie that you can just remember and pick out, and the fight scenes are included in that too, which is interesting because it's actually really different from the first one in that way. Like even though it's a part one, part two, they kind of feel like really different movies even though they're the same story.
I don't remember any like fight scenes or anything good action wise from anything the first that, like, movie really.
I'm sure there were, but like nothing sticks out to you like this movie does.
Well, that
was like probably the main one, the first one, the ending. Was that 1v1?
Oh, the 1v1,
That was good. I rewatched the first one, and that fight scene was really good. Yeah.
One that I think they could have done better in this movie was the, oh my god, what's his name? Bald guy, Drax.
Dave Bautista. I forget
his name. Yes, thank you. But Robot. The way he died.
No, that's Uncle, sorry.
Oh, the way he, like, they killed him off was like, he just got one shot, you know, like
he did.
At least gave him a little bit of like.
I think that scene itself just felt like a little wrap up too. Like, they could have took it out, but they kind of needed to wrap up their little story.
Yeah.
Josh Brolin and Bautista, but yeah.
Could have gave a little bit more like time of day, you know.
His character turn was awesome though, because like in the first movie he's like the scary guy.
Yeah.
Oh man, and this movie he like he's whole 180. But the movie does it really well though, like the way they set up Muad'Dib and like it's so good. It was really good.
Yeah, that just like throughout the way, like kind of the contrast between like these people think that it's a religious thing, but along the way like he knows, oh, this is happening because of this, because I'm this, or this is my mom trained for this or whatever. You know, it's all like explained like that. I really like that aspect too. I don't know, that blew me away, to be honest. much better than I was expecting. Is it your movie of the year so far? I know it's early, but
I mean, yeah, technically it's like nothing like really reaches it. Even I was thinking about it, like if we do a top 10, like should we even include it? Because it's like a given, you know. It's like duh, it's gonna be there. So like I was like,
yeah,
because under it is Lisa Frankenstein. I don't think you watched it, because that movie was really good too, but it wasn't on this level, you know. But yeah, this movie's crazy.
Yeah. So what are you giving it out of?
Yeah. Five? So it's funny because last time I was like, oh, you know, 4 out of 5, but it became a 5.
Yeah.
Right now it's a 5, but I'm thinking it might be a 4.5, but it's a 5. Like, it's just a really well made film. Like, I think that's like nobody can deny that. It's just crazy. Like, we've been talking about what's a modern masterpiece, like something people will be talking about decades from now. Like, I think this is one of them, like, to be honest. It might be recent to be biased, but I don't think so. I think this is legit is one of them.
Yeah.
The director is on a crazy streak right now. He did Arrival. Did you ever watch on Amy Adams? There's like the aliens. They have to figure out how to talk to them.
Yeah, I don't remember.
That movie is crazy good. But the director did Arrival, Prisoners, the Hugh Jackman one where his daughter got.
Okay, I definitely watched that one.
Sicario. I didn't watch Sicario, but I heard that's really good too.
Yeah, I heard good things about it, but I haven't watched that one.
And then Blade Runner 2049. Mm. Yeah, he is.
Yeah. If they nail the third one, like this is, he has to. They have to stick the landing to like make it, you know, bring it home type all of thing. Time, I feel like, yeah. But the trilogy is, there's potential, bro. There's potential there. it's a 5 out of 5 for me too, man. No notes. Nothing I could change to make that a better movie, other than that little like couple of things. But like, man. Just something you gotta see, I think. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
There's so many scenes that are so good. I just remember, like, the peak of it for me was probably right before when they introduced Austin Butler and the villain, the bald people. Mm. But, like, right before that was the when he rode the worm.
Oh, yeah. That whole scene was really sick.
I was just like, damn, this movie is so freaking good. Because before that point, it was all good scenes before that, too. It just kept going up and up, and I was like, holy shit, like, this movie is so freaking good.
Yeah, that and when he goes, he's like goes on the stage when they're in the South and like literally just yells at them and they're like, oh yeah, God, he's him. that scene, Timothy Chalamet is really good in that scene too.
It's so weird because he's such a good actor. Like I said, he's like really good. He's one of the greats. Even like when I first saw Call Me by Your Name, I was like, damn, how do you not get the Oscar for that? Yeah, that dude, he's crazy right now. And it's so weird seeing him in public because he's so awkward and weird. He's like our age and his acting though is insane. Like he's talented.
Yeah, for sure. Man, you got anything else on this movie?
I feel like we didn't do it justice. We gotta talk about it a little more.
I know. I don't know what else to say though. You're
the 1v1 guy. What do you think of the end fight? Because I thought that was
It was pretty good. I guess the way the fights were going in general in the movie, like, I didn't put too high stakes on it, I guess. I don't know. It didn't feel like the same epicness as, like, a Marvel movie, I guess. But I was, like, pretty invested at that point. And it was, it's so funny it's good that they give it like the hint of like, oh, he might lose, but then when he finally wins, his hype man being
Lisa
Gaib, that shit made me laugh so hard, bro.
I know. Yeah, and then I texted you that too. Yeah, it's like it's really funny. Like I remember like laughing at it, but I slowly realized like he's kind of like the reason all this shit happened though.
Yeah,
it's like it's kind of fucked up.
I think he might be low-key like, oh man, he might be my favorite character, man, that guy. I can't remember what's his name in the movie, like
Stilgar.
Oh yeah, Stilgar. Yeah, dude, he's so the ultimate glazer, bro. I don't know if I've ever seen that much glazing of another.
I know that first one was so funny too, where it's like, at least okay, we'll be too humble too. that first one is like my audience laughed. I was like, oh yeah,
damn. He'd be too humble to say he is that. Like, oh my god, oh, it's so funny. But yeah, man, it's such a like It's such a good theater watch, too.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're waiting for it to go on, like, I don't know, Max or whatever
it's
going
to
go on. No,
this is, like, the best way to watch it with the audience.
Yeah, if you're going to go to the theater, go to the theater. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's probably the best way to do it. Yeah, I don't know. Shall we move on?
Yeah.
All right. I have the live-action Avatar next. It's been very popular on Netflix, as it was projected to be. But what are your initial thoughts on it?
Did you hear that? That was pretty gross.
That was juicy. Yeah.
I feel like I should spit, but I don't know. Anyway, I didn't think it was that bad either, honestly. Even with all the changes that they did that were, like, you know, if you were, like, a fan, not even a diehard, if you're just a fan in general, like, some of the decisions they made were questionable. But I thought about it a little more, like, why did they even make it at all? And it's sad to say, but I think they made it for the people that, you know, look down on cartoons, and it was on Nickelodeon, and it's like...
Mm.
So if you think about it that way, I think a lot of the choices, the changes they made kind of made sense. Because, I don't know. Actually, now that I said it out loud, maybe not. But I didn't think it was that bad. I will say I'm more excited for season 2 than anything. Because seeing it just felt like I've seen this before. You know, they followed the same episodes that you have to follow in order to understand it. Like, what I'm trying to say is they followed the same episodes as the movie. So I felt like I saw this already, you know.
Mm.
But, like, with season 2, it's, like, all new, fresh. Not so exciting to see what they're going to take and leave out from the season 2 of the original show. But yeah, I thought the casting was good. The castings I thought were really good. Everybody was well casted.
Yep.
I think it's just everything. It's more so, everybody's been saying this, it's more so the writing. But I don't want to harp on the writing too much, because I still feel like they did a good job with the dramatic. For all the story, like all the storylines, Katara, Sokka, especially Zuko and Iroh, like all the writing there, I think is solid. Like, I still like care about the characters. The only one that I'm like really like gonna harp on is Aang, because he's supposed to be the lead, you know, but he still feels like he's taking a backseat from everybody. That's the only one I'm like troubled with. But I still have faith in the writers. I feel like they're gonna take all this like criticism and whatnot and like really improve on it. Like, like, why wouldn't they? You know.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. So for me, I had a scale here. I had a pretty clear scale going in of like how highly I think of the show and how lowly I think of the movie. So I think right now it kind of falls in the middle for me. Like, it's not as good as the show and it's not as bad as the movie. Enjoyed seeing, especially the bending, like just show the bending on screen in a cool way that it's supposed to be shown. That was a win, because I liked all the bending. I thought it was cool. I thought it was fine. I'm kind of on the same boat as you in terms of like Aang not being like, they took out all the fun goofy parts of him that were in the show, and I think it really takes away from his personality a lot. Like,
again, I think I feel bad for the actor, because I keep seeing him in reels. He's a really funny dude, but can't really do it in the show, which is weird.
Yeah, and I get them having to like mash together a lot of how the episodes usually go, which is cool, but I feel like they kind of overcooked it a bit, where it was, they changed some things that probably would have been better to like keep the same sometimes. Like another one that I didn't like was the way that King Bumi was different. In the show, he's more, you know, he's goofy, he's fun, he's wise, he's a good friend to Aang the whole time. And then the show, they made him like kind of bitter almost and like, like, he comes around in the end, like, how he's supposed to. But I don't know. I didn't like it. It just rubbed me the wrong way for whatever reason. Aang is just, like, low-key, like, not that interesting overall. Yeah. He's really serious. Everybody else is cool, though. Yeah. Especially Zuko and Iroh. They do a really good job with them.
Yeah, I like that change with Zuko and Iroh. With his whole... they made his crew... like feel like actual characters, because there's a whole like difference there, and I thought that was really interesting too.
I'm not sure why Azula and the or maybe the Fire Lord, I get, because you're explaining Zuko's backstory, that's cool. But Azula, I don't know if
she
that
didn't really need to
had to
well
be
I guess
there.
Cause well my well, main thing actually... was her friends, because you didn't really need her friends. Azula, I get. She didn't need to be in it that much, though. Yeah. Because she was barely in season one. She was just at the end of the season to show, like, yeah. Oh, he has a sister. But
yeah, so she was kind of just there. I get that they changed it so that she's already taken Omashu.
Like a main player, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It was okay. Let's see. The water tribe, the northern water tribe stuff was fine. It was good.
Yeah.
I don't think I had any issues there. I think it was more... Oh, the other thing is, like, the pets. Especially Apple. Oh, right? Yeah.
So I Apple feel like they're barely around.
Yeah, barely. Especially Apple was, like, so not around. And we're, like...
It's a main... Yeah, a major thing happens in season two.
Yeah, they're kind of, like, main characters, you know? Like, there's a lot of these episodes that have Apple as part of the story. Especially even in season one, like, the whole tunnel thing. That adaptation too, like having we can discuss the sibling thing, but that whole thing in the show, it happens because Appa, you know, he doesn't want to go in the cave and stuff, but like he's like in there with them and then they get separated and all that. But I don't know, just like having them around on screen should have been more prevalent, I think. Yeah. Especially
it's probably money, but
happens later.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's definitely money, but, like, come on, guys.
I know, like, they were barely in it, so, like, when what happened to Momo happened in, the, like, that last episode.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, do it then, because, you know, he's barely around. I was like, he's barely around, so might as well just do it. And I actually felt something, so, but.
Yeah. Oh, okay, so let's talk about the tunnel thing.
Yeah.
They changed it from the original show, where it was supposed to be Aang and Katara trapped in the love tunnel, and they changed it to be Sokka and Katara. Yeah. What did you think of that?
They pulled the Frozen. I thought it was fine, but I think that's just a problem with that in general, where they're not building up the romance between them at all. Which they probably got a complaint or something, or like somebody was like, you know, they're kids, they shouldn't be thinking about this right now. But I think we should have at least seen a little bit of it from Aang, though. Because that's the whole thing, you know, he was a kid, he was away for 100 years, and then he still kind of wants to be a kid, so, like, you know, and then that comes with, like, having a crush.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we barely get any of that, like, barely, like,
there's literally none of it. Yeah, there's zero hint of any romance at all between Aang and Katara, which is part of how the show builds up, just so kinda, I don't, I mean, yeah, so, like, I watched compared to the original show, season one did have quite a few, like, portions where it's like, okay, we're already building chemistry between these two characters, and then they kind of, like, completely took all of that out in the live action. So, I mean, all of this stuff is just going to make it harder for them to close it out, you know, in season three. Yeah. So, I don't know. Yeah, we'll see what they do with the rest of it.
Also, I don't know if season one was like this, because I don't remember, but, like, Katara was like the dad of the family in the show, and then the live action's really making it like Sokka, you know, he's the leader of the tribe and all that. I don't remember if that's how it was in the show, but I don't know, I just remember Katara being like, she was like the protector of Sokka, not the other way around.
Yeah,
because she has that, or no, Sokka has the whole thing where he's like, I don't remember my mom, I just remember Katara. Because he says that, right, at some point.
Yeah. That's right, yeah. Yeah, that's another... Yeah, that's true. They made Sokka a little different. Yeah. He's a little more mature than in the show, I guess.
I will say, Sokka did make me laugh a little bit.
Yeah, it's harder to do a lot of the comedy that he has in the show, like in live action, so I give him credit. I think he did a pretty good job overall. Because, You can't do the same things as in an animated thing. Like, it's just cringy. but yeah, so for season one, what would you give it out of 5?
It's a 3. It's fine. I mean, it is what you said. Like, the live action movie, it's not just a bad adaptation. Like, I think people like saying that movie is better than this show is. It's not just a bad adaptation. It's a bad movie.
That's a bad take.
It's a bad movie. Like, in general.
Yeah.
You know, it's worse that if you're a fan. If you just were not a fan, then it's fine. But if you're a fan, it's even... So that was a 1. Yeah, this is a 3. And then the original show is a 5. I think that just... The show itself is just crazy good, so it was never gonna live up to that. But
yeah, I'm with you. It's a 3. It does enough. It does the job, I guess. It's not gonna live up to the show, but I mean, they have a chance to. They got 2 more seasons, but we shall see. Yeah,
we'll see. If there was one thing they for sure that I wanted them to keep, though, it was Aang using. Well, that's the thing. He didn't even do any water bending, but
yeah. Why did they do that? Freaking even Katara, she kind of just low key just teaches herself and becomes really good. In the show, why am I blanking on his name? The water bender master, the master guy teaches both Paku. Of them. Paku, yeah, and he didn't.
I don't know why I remember this, but one of the things I remember from the movie is when the Fire Nation attacked, and then they're all like banging their sticks, and then Paku's like, ooh, and then so that's all I remembered for some reason. So whenever I seen Paku in this show, that's all I thought about was him going ooh, just hitting the stick.
That's pretty funny. But yeah, anyway, I don't. That's another. Yeah. They should. I don't know why they took that out.
I wanted to see Aang do that. He's firebending, and then he hurts Katara because that was like I feel like that was a huge thing.
The firebending part was
I think that was season one. I think yeah, because they find a scroll, and he's like, oh yeah, I can do it, and then he freaking.
Isn't that waterbend? Wait,
I think that was season one.
I think it might have been season two, or because Jong, I don't. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I'm mixed up now.
Well, if it was season two, then that's cool. But yeah, because it's a huge reason why he decides to take on Zuko as a mentor.
Yeah. I think it's season two, but I could be wrong. Okay. But the whole waterbending, like they should have. I don't know. So I guess when we come back in season two,
he's gonna be.
They have to show him learning waterbending at some point, right? So, which was supposed to have happened already. I don't know.
People are worried about the ages, like of the actors. I think it works out though. I think it works out though, because they could easily say in between seasons there's like a time skip. Because there's
the only. Oh yeah, they took out the time thing. Yeah. Did you know that? Like, because in the show it's like, oh, he has to defeat the Fire Lord by the end of the summer, or whatever the
something
fuck it
like
was.
That, yeah.
Yeah, but there's a comment. They didn't say that here. He's just like, oh, you have to defeat the Fire Lord. Mm-hmm.
So it kind of works.
What do you think of the change of having like Avatar Kyoshi, or like the way he talks to the avatars too,
because
in the show it's more like Avatar Roku and stuff. We should talk about that. What do you think,
dude? Yeah, I guess again it makes more sense for live action and to explain it to it. I don't know to explain it that way for like live action people, but then I'm trying to remember how the show did it, because the show was just like,
well, they all went to Roku's thing together, and then he explained everything. Mm-hmm. And they never talked to Kyoshi in the original show, but in this, they had. I don't know. I guess they just noticed like a lot of people talk about Avatar Kyoshi, and
they're so like, she's her tall woman.
That's kind of what it felt like to me. Yeah. So,
I mean, it was cool, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I guess it's fine, because the Avatar state itself was just, like, flexible anyway. Like
the Force. I just like the way it was done in the original. Yeah. I think that's the main thing.
Yeah. Because it was like, whenever he went into Avatar state, it was like, oh.
Yeah.
It's over.
In the live action so far, you don't really get that.
Yeah.
That's the other thing with the power levels and stuff. So when they were fighting in Omashu, like, in the original show, Zuko never touches Aang
every time.
And in the live action here, they kind of made it a little closer where Zuko's getting some hits off, and I was like, I don't know about that one. Whole point Aang is that he's supposed to get wiped, you know,
even though he's like a kid and doesn't want to be the Avatar, he's still really powerful. Like, nobody really like touches him unless he's like he has like an inner conflict going on.
And they I don't think they did a good job of like really showing
how powerful
Aang himself like
just
is,
without even like learning anything. He like just airbending, he was still freaking.
So that could have been better too, but they got 2 more seasons to figure it out. So
I'm excited for season. You knew that they got renewed for 2 and 3.
So good for them. It's good. I think they can pick it up season two. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of good stuff in season two to pick from.
Yeah, Toph, that'll be interesting.
Yeah, Toph.
It is interesting. Yeah, because you can feel like she is like a missing piece in their in their gang.
So. Yeah. That'd be fun. Yeah, season two has a lot of bangers. So we'll see. Cool. So let's move on. Do you want to do Madam Web or do you want to do the Vince Staples Show first?
Which one do you think would be shorter? Because we can do the shorter one first.
I honestly don't know. I have the same amount to say about both, I think. So. Okay.
Yeah, you can do Madam Web.
Okay, let's do Madam Web.
Actually, yeah, because I did that a while ago, so maybe you'll remind me of some stuff.
Okay, yeah. Should I start with Madam Web since I watched it more recently? Yeah. Okay. So, our curiosity about this movie started because of a TikTok where this dude was just completely bashing it as the worst movie of all time. Mm-hmm. And I sent it to Alardo and I was like, it can't possibly be that bad, right?
Yeah.
And honestly, to report, it wasn't. I don't think it was that bad.
We've not seen as bad as some people bad say. Movies.
Yeah. And it's not that bad. Yeah. I wouldn't say it's like a good movie. Yeah. I don't know if I would defend it that way, but I was entertained. I thought it was fine. There was nothing super egregiously bad about it where I would give it a 1, you know? Like,
I don't think it's a 1 either.
I think she has some cool powers of, like, seeing the future is a cool power. Mm-hmm. And I think they did it a decent amount of justice in showing the different ways it can be used. The main characters are fine. The villain is fine. Maybe I missed it. I don't know how the villain... The beginning part was a little bit confusing for me. It's like, wait, how did he get power? So the spider bites the dude. He stole the spider from the mom, and then I guess it bit him. It's a really minor thing, but
yeah,
he's basically bad Spider-Man, and then she can see the future. I don't know, I thought it was fine.
I thought it was just all right issues. It wasn't it wasn't a good movie, but it wasn't like unwatchable or like I want this to be over, you know. Like, some movies, it's just like, okay, you're like, you keep constantly checking the time and like, all right, you know.
Yeah.
Like, this wasn't that, but, yeah.
I felt like it could have been a show, though, too, and it would have been, like, a Disney Plus show, and it would have been fine, but I guess I think they wanted to.
A huge part of for me where it made sense was, well, I don't know if I should say it made sense, but, like, everything dealing with the villain felt like reshoots, and felt like they added it on after... onto like this already made movie, because if you notice his voice, like all his dialogue felt like they like voiced over, and like
I didn't notice that.
I feel like everything dealing in Peru too was like reshoots. I feel like they watched the movie, like they test screened it, and they got another director, not even the original director. They probably were, and then they're like, okay, make this for us. We need this because. This is what I feel like the revisions were, like, that they felt like they need to make. We need more emotion. So that's where the mom comes in. Yeah. And we need to explain the villain better. And all of that, if you take away all of that, you just watch the movie with, like, Dakota Johnson and the girls and, like, all that. Like, it feels like more of a movie. But they add that stuff on, and it's, like, it feels weird.
Yeah, that makes sense. The other thing is, the girls don't actually ever get their powers in the movie. Spoiler alert. But
in the future.
In the future, she sees the future of them getting their powers. They don't actually get their powers, which I feel like we should have probably seen in this movie if you want me to be, like, invested in these normal people, which I get. Yeah. They did show like them doing cool stuff, but still, like, come on. What are we waiting for here? That was the main thing. The actual Madam Web herself, like, I don't know. She was just fine, I guess.
She's fine. A lot of people are like harping on her line deliveries, but I thought they were okay, to be honest.
Oh, really?
None of it stuck out to me.
Yeah, nothing crazy, like cringe or anything.
Yeah. Even like, I want to say I really liked. Well, I almost like shot myself in the foot there. One fight scene I liked was the diner one where like it was a vision, but like the guy came and like killed them all.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought that was really nice.
Yeah. Yeah. What else is there to really say? I feel like it's just another superhero movie.
I mean, like, I think you nailed it, like, because we don't think it's bad, but we don't want to defend it too much because it's not like it was like anything that great either. I watched Morbius. You didn't watch it, right? I thought it was better than Morbius because Morbius is just like, I was lost, man. Like, it made sense, really? But it's just like, what is happening? Who they make this for? You know, at least Madame Web, you can kind of tell, like, they was like, oh, it's trying to be like a Spider-Man thing. For the female audiences, kind of fun. But Morbius is like, I don't know what was going on there.
I like going back to it. She does have a cool power. Seeing the future is a cool power. I don't know why she had to be blind. That's kind of a spoiler. But I don't know why she had to be blind in the end. Like,
it's probably a comic thing. Like, she's blind in the comic. The wheelchair is the comic thing. I know that for sure. You see that video on Reels where like they reveal her in the wheelchair with the glasses on, and everybody's like laughing. The whole theater is laughing.
Oh no!
I seen that. Brutal.
Damn, but I don't know. It wasn't horrible. I don't know. What would you get?
I would say my theory, like why it's getting so like trashed on.
Yeah, go.
Okay, I don't want to sound pretentious again. I say that a lot, but you know, I feel it. I think it's another like side effect of like I always say this, like people need to watch more movies or like they don't need to, but like it's the casual moviegoer mindset where like. They only watch the good stuff. Mm-hmm. They only watch the John Wicks and the Dune Part 2s and the Across the Spider-Verse. Yeah. So once they see something like Madame Web, then they're like, oh,
this is the worst thing I've ever seen.
But like we try to watch like, we don't just try to watch the good, we try to watch a lot of, we do watch a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And so we've seen some awful stuff.
Yeah,
and Madame Web isn't like even there, you know.
So yeah.
I think it's just a watch more movies kind of thing, or a casual movie goer thing.
Yeah which is like you said, like you don't have to watch more movies, but like I don't know, I guess
there
having
are worse
that take
movies
is,
out there.
Just don't have such an extreme take with such a narrow view of like the amount of I don't know experience you've had in movie theaters. I guess that sounded pretentious what I just said, but I said that, so what would you give this out of 5?
It's a 2.
It's a 2 for me too. I feel like we defended it. That's the most I ever defended a 2, I think. But
I know, yeah. Because everybody's giving it like half a 1. Yeah. So, you know.
It's not that horrible. Like,
yeah.
But yeah, let us know what you think. We'll leave it there. Okay, moving on. We have the Vince Staples Show on Netflix. I requested for Alardo to watch this. It's 5 quick episodes on Netflix.
Yeah, it's really quick. I was like, this could have been a YouTube
video. Yeah. Yeah, Vince Staples is one of my favorite rappers, so I was interested to what he would do on screen. Kind of, especially since like Atlanta, Dave, like these shows are turning out really good, so I was really curious about it. But what did you think, Alardo?
You know, I thought I was just okay. I will say the first 4 episodes, I can't even remember what happened in those ones. The only one I really remember is the one with the dad and the kid, and they're trying to.
Oh yeah,
and that one was really good. But the other ones, they just felt like really well. Okay, this is gonna sound like insult, but it's not. They felt like really well made like student films. Yeah, like it felt like
it's an insult.
It's an insult. I'm sorry. It felt like he had good ideas and he wanted to execute them, but I think he would have worked better. He might have had a writer's room, but it would have felt better if he had like a group of people to like work it with, and then expand them into like actual episodes.
Yeah,
you know, these just felt like shorts, not really episodes. But maybe that's the idea. But yeah.
So they did feel like shorts, which is like one of the issues that I had with it. Mm-hmm. Like, the thing I liked about like early seasons of Atlanta is like they had like the shorts feel, but they had like a bigger narrative that kind of like carried between the group of them. And the show doesn't really have that. It's more like they're all kind of their own separate things almost. I liked the bank one too. The bank robbery one. That was pretty funny. Like the show overall, like I laughed a decent amount actually. I thought it was pretty funny. A lot of weird shit happens, but it's also like too short too. It's only 5 episodes.
Yeah.
It didn't like really
20 minutes long.
Yeah, and there's like not enough time almost to like really get too much out of it. Yeah. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
So
that's why I feel like that's why I said what I said. You know, I don't want to say it again because it's kind of mean, but like I've kind of meant that good with it. Because student, if you want me to say something like a student film, then it's like then it's not good. But this is like very well made. Like he had an idea, he executed it really well, but it could have been to the next level if he worked it with a lot of people, and then just you know. Chopped it around.
Yeah, and then a little bit more of a narrative throughout, I would have enjoyed. It would have kept me more invested in it, I think, too. I think the theme park one in particular was kind of, it got kind of, like, too all over the place
for me. Oh, yeah, that was kind of crazy.
It was kind of like, whoa, what is happening? So that was kind of a low point. And one thing I think was different than... say, because I was kind of comparing it to like Dave, Atlanta, these other type shows, like it's not really centered around him being a rapper at all. Like he is a rapper in the show and he's himself, but like the stories didn't really have anything to do with that. It was more just like his life, which I liked that, because then if it's about him being a rapper, then what's the difference between like this and Atlanta or like this and Dave, you know? So I like that it's kind of more just like regular life stuff and he just happens to be Vince Staples. Let's see. Yeah, I just wish there was more episodes. Like 5 is not enough. And then like the narrative thing is the main things.
Yeah, I don't know what else to say about it.
Maybe you should have done this one first because it's
maybe,
it felt a little shorter than Madam Web. But what'd you give it out of 5?
To 3. It's all right.
Yeah, I'm also at a 3. I hope it gets renewed though, because I don't know. I feel like give him some more episodes. It has potential. There's potential there. I see it. So I don't think it has been renewed yet. But if it does, I'd watch more of it. Okay. So moving on here, we have a few more discussion questions. We're having some fun with them last time, so we decided we wanted to do a few more. Elardo had the first one. I don't have them pulled up right now.
Yeah,
but
I got this
one. What do you remember the first one?
All right, this is Dune Part 2 spoilers, but the whole thing with Paul Atreides is that he doesn't want to go south and then fulfill all the prophecies that he's going to take over the universe and kill like billions and trillions of people, right?
Yeah.
But if he doesn't do that, then all the Fremen die, Oslins die, he dies. So if we were in Paul Atreides' shoes, which one are we doing? Is the discussion question.
So that reminds me of the part of the movie where, well, like multiple times in the movies where he's like, okay, I can't go south because y'all, it's going to mess up everything.
Yeah.
But then, you know, well, what happens? But
yeah,
I think I would do probably what he did. I don't know. What do you think I would do? You know me. I don't know.
Yeah, I think you would too.
Yeah, I probably would. It just makes sense. Yeah,
you probably would have done it sooner than he did.
Low key, yeah. Low key. I would not have had the type of conflict that he was having. Yeah. I would be like, yeah, I'm him. Let's go. Let's do it. But yeah, what about you?
No, yeah, I probably would have too. I don't know.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought you were more likely to like not do it. Like,
I don't know, because, billions, trillions will die, but the universe becomes more, okay, I'm going to sound like a psycho, but the universe is more, like, unified under one thing, you know, instead of, like, all these separate little things. I know, I sound like a freaking dictator right now.
You're a dictator.
But, hey. I think the universe. Oh yeah.
Whoa.
Well, come out better for it.
Oh yeah. I mean, I'd do the same thing. 100%. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yes. It's like the only way to go, pretty much.
Yeah.
That sounded bad too. But okay. So let's explore the other options. So like.
So if we don't go south, everybody like pretty much. Because they killed, they did kill that, like, one area that they
Yeah, the had. Bald that's people why, just take control, right?
That's and why then, he went south, because of that happened, right?
Yeah, yeah. So, I don't know, bruh. I don't know if I could live with that, so.
Wait, yeah, you're not a loser. That's why you wouldn't. I wouldn't, because it's just like, if I just let everybody die. I mean, yeah, it just feels bad, you know?
It's how can you just let that happen, you know?
Yeah.
Can I let that slide?
Gonna give up our dune?
All right. I think we established what we're gonna do there. Yeah. Okay. Okay, so the other two. These are more, I guess, I don't know the word for it, like theoretical, general, serious.
Chat generated.
they're also from ChatGPT. So I asked ChatGPT, I was like, what are some interesting movie discussion topics that we could do? And this is, I took two of the good ones from it. So the first one is, can movies be considered truly timeless, or are they inevitably bound to the cultural and social context of their production? How does this impact their relevance and impact over time? Your face right now.
This AI, man, thinks it's so smart. They don't understand the human complexity and human emotion.
Well, okay, let's focus on first part.
No, because where I was leading into that, they're timeless because of that, though. Because of the time they were made in. Because they're like little time capsules. Mm. You know what I mean? Some of the best movies that we remember for decades is because of the time that they were made in. Like, the one I always think about all the time is Casablanca. When it was made, I'm pretty sure it was made around like the time of the World War II. So everybody's feeling down in the dumps. And then that movie came out and it made everybody feel good again. And then that same feeling just carried on for like the rest of the time as time went on.
Wow.
So I think
That's a great way to put it, because they are like time capsules.
Yeah.
Really.
So they're timeless, like, because of the a part of it. Sometimes it's just because they're really good movies.
Mm.
But like, the culture, what it says here, the cultural and social context of the production, sometimes that's the reason why they're timeless.
Yeah. Yeah, because, okay, let's take, like, Star Wars, for example. Like, it was such a sci-fi thing that was, like, ahead of its time, right? Isn't that why everybody, like, it just aged so well, too? And then,
and then everything started, like, trying to be, like, Star Wars. They were trying to do sci-fi stuff.
Yeah, and even though it's, like, compared to now, actually, even like The Force and stuff kind of holds up low key, but like everything still looks good now, even. So I guess I don't know what I'm trying to say there, but I guess it does have some, like, it's time in time, so it's timeless.
Yeah,
that didn't make any sense, but
no, I saw,
you dig what I was trying to say?
How does this impact their relevance and impact over time? I mean, we kind of just answered that.
Like, yeah.
It's because of the time it was made.
Yeah. So, like, I'm trying to think of more examples. Like, The Godfather.
For example. I think it was just a really well-made movie, I think.
Yeah.
That movie is just crazy good.
Like, what's a movie that is, timeless movies? I'm trying to think of another timeless movie, even.
Or we're trying to, or like, what about a movie that, can movies be considered truly timeless, or are they inevitably bound to the cultural and social context of their production?
Because we are kind of saying, like, yes, they can be considered timeless because of, you know, the time capsule thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, like, I'm trying to think of more examples of that. Oh, we got some in the chat. Oh, by the way, shout out Jared. Looked at the chat super late, but I was hydrating. I don't know if you saw the entire time. I've been hydrating. So we got, let's see, this list in the chat here. Casablanca, you said that already. Citizen Kane. See, like, why is Citizen Kane timeless, for example?
I think it's just the filmmaking of it is so ahead of its time. It, like, jump time periods. It's about this one guy and his, like, descent into, like, loneliness, right?
Yeah,
like, that just felt
time
like a
period jump, actually. Yeah,
that just felt like a movie that still could be, like, made today. Like, it's, even though it's made so long ago, it, like, the way it was made, I don't think it's a cultural or social context thing. It's just, again, it's just a really well-made movie.
Mm-hmm. The Wizard of Oz. Oh. Low key, haven't watched that all the way through ever. Let's see. Oh, Seven Samurai. See, I feel like a lot of these, like, the core of it too is just having a really good story that can be told regardless of
time period when it was made.
And like storytelling is at
the point. Did we say so far? We said, like, what were the ones you just said?
Casablanca, Citizen Kane, The Godfather, Wizard of Oz, Seven Samurai.
Okay, I was gonna pull the remake card, but only one of those is, like, remade, I think. Seven Samurai is, like, constantly remade.
But, like, part of it is, like, you don't want to touch these, you don't want to touch it if it's, you don't want to touch a masterpiece, you know? You don't want to paint over the Mona Lisa.
No, yeah.
So.
So that's the thing. It's saying, like, are they bound to when to the time that they were made? But honestly, that just makes them more.
Yeah.
Less bound.
Yeah. All right. So take that, ChatGPT. Yeah. I should have been writing everything down and then, like, literally answer ChatGPT and see if
it's. And then see what it says back.
Okay, so the third one we have here is, should film critics consider the intentions and context of a movie's creators when reviewing a film, or should they solely focus on the final product? So as very, very amateur film critics ourselves, the most amateur film critics, I figured it was relevant for us to consider this question. Yeah. So what are your thoughts on it?
Well, when you know the context of what, like, happened around, like, a movie's thing, it's hard to ignore it, though, no? Like, here's one example. I have two one just, like, I just remembered one. Here's one, though. Don't Worry, Darling, with the whole Olivia Wilde and Harry Styles stuff. Oh, the whole Florence
Pugh. Yeah.
That was hard to ignore. But I don't think it affected us at all, though, right? Like, it's just, like, the movie itself was just, like...
Yeah.
It looks fine. But the other example I had was the Olivia Rodrigo High School Musical season.
That is a good example.
Yeah. Because, again, when you see what's happening on set there, when, like, they broke up, and in the scene where they broke up, she's crying a lot more than he is. It's hard not to remember, like, that they broke up in real life.
Yeah. So that's a great example.
And that she made a whole song about their relationship, and
even her, like, being completely out of the show toward the end, because, like, that wasn't an accident, you know, like, that's a great example.
So the question is should they ignore that stuff? And all I said is it's hard not to.
It's okay, yeah, if you know, it's hard to. Because, like, that did affect the way, because it's like, oh, you know, that whole thing
happened. Because if it didn't happen, I think we would have a very different show.
Yeah. Yeah. And, like, we know that, so it's like, oh, it's forgiven that you had to do it that way.
Exactly. Because, So if we didn't know that, we just watch the show as is, like, oh, they broke up, was that good for the characters and all that, blah, 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 and then they just went on, and then now, yeah.
Yeah, because... Okay, so imagine we're reviewing that show and we don't know anything about the characters. We'd be like, why did Olivia Rodrigo, the main character from season one, randomly just completely written out? Yeah. So, and then we would totally destroy that aspect of it. So, like, that's a case where we really actually did consider the context, like, pretty hard.
Yeah.
So like, I guess it's situational. Though, like,
I'm trying to think of another example, because
the Don't Worry, Darling thing, like, you're right, it didn't really have any bearing. Yeah, it didn't affect how I felt about the movie, really.
And we got a meme out of it, movie, so.
The movie.
I think you said the key word that's, like, ringing when you said it, is forgiving, because it helps us to forgive some of the things that happens in the movie.
Or the show that we're watching. Yeah. So
I guess what's the line?
Yeah, it's tough to say. I think it's very situational. It's, you gotta give us, like, the context of everything. Like, has anything in the Marvel universe happened like that where we forgave it because of some outstanding? I mean, they've been kind of clean, actually, though.
Oh, maybe not. Holy crap!
What?
Wakanda Forever.
Oh. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So that actually reviewing
that's
that,
a we really did, good example.
Yeah, because you have to. I mean, you have to consider.
Yeah.
The
Chat GPT. Come on, you know you gotta think about the human emotional level, man. Jeez, yeah. Louise, look what you're making us do.
So, gosh. I guess, to answer the original question...
Look where it made us go.
Yeah, it's really hard to just focus on the final product. That was the nail in the coffin, I think. Like, oh, shit. Yeah, anyway. Yeah, so we do have to consider the intentions and context. No pun intended on that last part, but yeah. Consider the intentions and context of a movie's...
Okay, with that said, it is a film critic's job to do that. I can see, like, a casual moviegoer or, like, somebody that's just like, I'm a movie reviewer on TikTok or whatever. Not a legit, like, established film critic that went, like, it's okay if they don't, but if you're a film critic, then you gotta do some sort of research and understand why something's a certain way. Yeah,
yeah, and if you're gonna write a review about it, like, it has to be in consideration.
Yeah.
All right, yeah, that was, I feel like, maybe we should have had one more, but...
I feel like, that was a
healthy discussion. Thank you, Chad. Shout out Chad GPT. Yeah. Jared in the comments said the Fast and Furious franchise.
Oh, yeah, Paul Walker.
I haven't watched... Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was like, what is...
Oh,
I low-key haven't watched
the... There's also another one that's on the same level. Vin Diesel and The Rock have beef, right?
Oh, so,
like,
that's right.
There are a lot of scenes where it's like they're standing side by side, not looking at each other, talking.
Yeah.
So again, if you don't know the context, then it's like, why are these two never together again? Or like, why are they never interact? Why did he get his own spinoff movie? Like, there's a lot there too where it's like.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and then you have to So when you know, it's like, oh, okay, that's
that
fine.
Makes total
like
sense.
You forgive
exactly,
it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Very interesting. I like that. I really like doing these discussion questions. I'll probably ask ChatGPT again. But also, the other thing that we did, if you're listening to this, perfect time to talk about our Instagram, @MixPodcasting, because on stories, we'll occasionally ask for discussion questions there. Mm-hmm. So if you have anything that you think we should discuss, follow us on there. Check out our story, and then, you know, let us know what you want us to talk about. But yeah, very shameless plug. So speaking of shameless plugs, we also have a TikTok account. Ooh. That's also, it's @TheMixClips. So our TikTok clips are awesome. They're really good. If you don't have time to like listen to our whole show, especially like you can get us in little snippets. So follow us on there as well. Trying to grow that going up. So basically TikTok and Instagram pretty much are our main places. As well as if you are listening like on Spotify or Apple, wherever you're listening, if you could leave us a show review, good or bad, you know, just however you feel about us. It'd be great to get some reviews and feedback on those platforms as well. So, if you do that, if you take the minute to do that, we really appreciate it. And then also, of course, if you like the live show, be sure to drop a follow here on Twitch. We do the show live here every other week. Well, I just lied because actually, talking about next episode, we are going to push it a little bit. We're going to push it a little bit because of what's coming out. So right now there's only Kung Fu Panda 4 that we're interested in for the next couple weeks. But beyond that, there's a little bit more. My bad, Alar. I didn't tell
you
about any of the other stuff
we're
talking about. Yeah.
So we got the Netflix show Three Body Problem from the Game of Thrones showrunners. And then we got Godzilla X Kong, the new empire.
Oh, yeah.
Just that title alone is crazy. Bro,
I saw the trailer before Dune, and I was like, this movie is so ridiculous. Like,
when the title was just Godzilla and Kong, I was like, oh, that's a nice title. And all of us, Godzilla X Kong, the new empire. I was like, whoa, okay, yeah, sure. Let's do that instead.
I can see them, like, workshopping it and being like, no.
Godzilla and Kong?
It needs more oomph. It's not enough. How about we add the new empire? Like, oh, shit. Yeah.
There is a new empire, oh, God.
Let's do it. I can't wait to see how they're going to explain to me that these two creatures are now going to work together after fighting for a movie.
They don't have to work however many movies. Or they don't have to like each other. They just have to work together.
Oh, my goodness.
Pretty sure that's like the line verbatim from the trailer.
Yeah. That's like, get the hell out of here, bro. And then he has like a... Did you see Kong has like a freaking Thanos like gauntlet? Yeah. Dude, okay. So let's review that.
How'd they even make that? How'd they like get Kong in for a fitting for that?
I don't know. That's mystery.
I mean, all anyway. We want to see is a monkey beating shit up, right? So that's all I want.
So that'll be an interesting movie to review. So Kung Fu Panda 4. By the way, Kung Fu Panda 4, like, I'm hearing some very negative things about it. I'm scared.
I'm ready to talk about it.
I've been a lifelong fan and defender of the Kung Fu Panda franchise, and I'm very scared about what I'm hearing about this fourth movie. So we're definitely going to review it next episode.
See, it just reminded me of my Pixar bias, because it's kind of like Cars 3, but Cars 3 was disguised as like successor movie. This one's straight up like, oh, he needs a successor. So,
shit.
But Cars 3, I thought it was good. But I'm a Pixar bias.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway.
Okay, so there's those. What else did you say?
That was it. Kung Fu Panda, Godzilla, and Three Body Problem. And we had Iron Claw, but we don't have to do it. But we can still.
Okay, let's go. Maybe on that, we'll see how much time I have. And then. I don't know. Maybe we'll do a different game or something. Yeah. I feel like there's a ton of these games we haven't done in a while, so maybe we'll do one of those. But yeah, that's pretty much it. Let's see. Shout out to Jared for hanging out in the chat with us. And yeah, that's going to do it for us on this episode of The Mix. We'll see you guys next time.